The Skagway Assembly keeps voter approval for some large land leases, and how the state's Senate version of the capital budget affects local projects. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marta Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly last week tweaked borough code to require voter approval of public land leases for amounts over $5 million and exempting leases with state agencies from going to a public vote. The Assembly had considered repealing the ordinance altogether, which had previously required public land leases worth more than $250,000 be ratified by voters. But several members in the public showed up at Assembly meetings to comment on the proposed change. Most spoke against it, although some of those opposed said raising the threshold would accomplish the spirit of the code, which they said was to involve the public in any major leases of public lands. Most cited the example of the 55-year lease with White Pass for the Tidelands of why the public should be involved in long-term leases. Ironically, it is that same lease that prompted the change in the ordinance. The municipality is currently in negotiations with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority for the Tidelands after the White Pass lease expires in 2023. In the course of the negotiations, Skagway officials say ADA was surprised and concerned to learn any proposed lease would have to be voted on. Interim borough manager at the time, Tom Healy, said repealing the ordinance would help alleviate the concerns of ADA or any company that might negotiate with the municipality. Over the course of several meetings, Assembly members Gary Hansen and Steve Burnham opposed the repeal. Hansen said he didn't agree with exempting any entity from voter approval of a lease worth more than $5 million. Burnham said he didn't believe it should be the Assembly's authority to take away a voting right of the people without a vote of the people.
I don't think that it's proper for us to remove the vote of the people without the people agreeing with that and having the option to vote.
Mayor Stan Selmer reminded Burnham that the ordinance was first established by the Assembly, not by voter initiative.
And I know that both of you know this, but the voters did not put this requirement in place. This was put in by a fear tactic that was occurred in 1990 over two ore terminals. I think the biggest mistake that was made is after the fear of the ore terminals went away that the ordinance wasn't repealed. That's my position.
Burnham offered an amendment that would have made the ordinance effective only after approved by a public vote and pre-clearance by the Department of Justice. That amendment failed, with only Burnham and Hansen supporting it. The main ordinance then passed by a vote of 4-2, with Burnham and Hansen opposing. The code will now require a citizen vote of any lease of public lands by the municipality and worth more than $5 million. Leases with any state entity, such as ADA, will be exempt from voter ratification regardless of value. The Assembly also approved the new Solid Waste and Recycling Management Plan and goals as created by the Solid Waste and Recycling Committee. The recommendations include the goal of discontinuing regular use of the incinerator by the end of 2014. The Assembly amended that goal, at the request of the mayor, to extend to the end of 2015. Other goals include the municipality recycling 50% of the town's waste by the end of 2015 and composting half the town's organic waste by the end of 2016. The municipality will now submit a request for proposal for a solid waste and recyclables service provider. Thursday's meeting was also the first with new borough manager Jord Eads. Before the meeting began, Eads took the oath of office in Assembly chambers. He rested his left hand on three of his favorite books he brought with him from California, what he called public sector sacred texts. The stack included the book Looking for Lincoln, the Declaration of Independence, and a copy of the Constitution.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The laws of the state of Alaska.
The laws of the state of Alaska.
The laws of the municipality of Skagway.
The laws of the municipality of Skagway.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
Faithfully and honestly.
Faithfully and honestly.
Perform the duties.
Perform the duties
of the office of borough manager.
Of the office of borough manager.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
The 69-year-old Eads retired from the public sector in Pismo Beach, California in 2011, but he said last year he was drawn to return to public service.
Maybe the heart unloaded and the enthusiasm for further career in public service. got, I'll call it refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated.
He applied for the Skagway manager position, at first unsure if it was what he wanted, but he said his interest grew after a phone interview with Skagway officials and then with a visit.
I must say it was very interesting being here, getting a feel for the community, for the public officials, and I'd already begun to do internet research well before that even, and had a sense for some of the challenges that were here, projects. I said, you know, those look like serious projects. They're real things that are very important to the community for now and for future generations. That's where I'd like to be.
Eads did work for a short time several years ago as city manager in Wrangell. He grew up in Maine and also lived in Chicago, Minnesota, Arizona, and Hawaii. Eads spent a week working with interim manager Tom Healy before Healy left to return to Wasilla. Healy had been working at the borough since the last permanent manager, Tom Smith, left late last year. The Haines Borough Assembly meets Tuesday night. The Assembly kicks off the evening with a Committee of the Whole meeting about the budget, the first of several over the next few months. Tuesday's budget meeting will be an introduction to the manager's budget, an overview of the general fund, revenues, fund balances, economic trends, and allocated expenses. The Assembly will also discuss the budget in regards to the school district, library, and museum. At the regular meeting, the Assembly will have a first hearing on the ordinance to discontinue the Fire Service Area Board No. 1. Assemblyman Dave Berry is also asking for a reconsideration of a vote on an ordinance from last meeting granting a commercial tour permit to the Great Bear Foundation for tours at Chilkoot Lake and River. Berry initially voted no on the approval at last meeting, but with his reconsideration, it will come up again. The meeting agenda also has an item for discussion about matters concerning the Chief of Police. Chief Gary Lowe has been on administrative leave for 2 weeks following his performance evaluation. The Assembly held a closed hearing last week to talk with Lowe and other department employees about internal complaints at the police department. The Assembly could not take any formal action at Thursday's hearing, but it may choose to do so at Tuesday's meeting. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available online at HainesAlaska.gov. The regular Assembly meeting begins at 6:30. The Budget Committee meeting begins at 4:30. Southeast communities won and lost when the Senate Finance Committee released its capital budget last week. Some projects proposed by the governor were cut, but others were added, although most projects for Haines and Skagway survived this round of the process. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Every year, Alaska lawmakers collect want and need lists from communities, organizations, and individuals in their districts. It's been much the same this legislative session.
There's close to $50 million in requests from Juneau alone.
Dennis Egan represents the capital city and a number of nearby communities in the state Senate.
There's $43 million from Petersburg. Chenecke has requested money. Right now I have a restroom for Gustavus, but there are other requests from Gustavus as well.
It is a tough year.
House Minority Leader Beth Kurtula represents the same communities.
I guess I can be the bearer of bad news this year in that I think many capital projects that we would have absolutely hoped to have funded will not be funded.
The Senate Finance Committee's capital budget added some Southeast projects to the list proposed by Governor Sean Parnell in December. There's $73,000 for that Gustavus restroom, $10 million towards Ketchikan's Medical Center addition, and $2.5 million for Petersburg's police station and jail. But along with the additions, Senate Finance removed some projects from the governor's budget. It cut $10 million towards a highway north out of Juneau and $3 million for Ketchikan's Schoenbar Road water and sewer project. Also removed was about $1.4 million for a pair of Sitka Road projects. Figures from the legislature show Southeast capital spending totaling about $195 million. That includes around $20 million in additions and $4 million in cuts. Lawmakers usually add smaller amounts, such as grants for nonprofit groups, to what Senate Finance drafts. Egan says, maybe not this year.
We were told a few days ago that there would be no discretionary funding on the Senate side this year. I hope that's not the case. We're working hard on trying to get it back.
Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz, a House Finance Committee member, says she won't be able to contribute much.
The community project money, it's referred to as discretionary money. We have not yet been told what that amount will be for this year, but we have been told it will be less than previous years.
Both chambers of the legislature have to pass the same version of the capital budget for it to be finalized, so there may still be room for some additional projects. Of course, the governor can veto items he deems untimely or unnecessary. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Most of the funding for Haines and Skagway projects remained in this version of the budget. In Skagway, those projects include $4.5 million for the Skagway Ferry Terminal modifications and $1.5 million for the Skagway Gateway project. In Haines, projects funded include $31 million for the Haines Highway Reconstruction Project. Additional projects funded include sidewalk work on the Old Haines Highway, work on the Klahini River Bridge, Haines Airport improvements, and asbestos cement pipe replacement. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report, and thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.